And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
What is up, RBLR Nation? How are we doing tonight, guys? First off, thank you guys for tuning in, whether it's live, listening to it the next day, whatever it is, thank you guys for listening. My name is Zach Blaine. I'm one of the hosts here. And with me today, I don't think we've had this duo as a pair ever in a show. Mr. Tyler, how are you doing today, brother?
I'm hanging in there. It is summertime.
You know, up here in Tennessee, I was like, you know, we're doing good. It hasn't been too hot. It was like 91 today. And I was like, oh, I think the Florida is a little bit out of my blood now.
Yeah, it's they're saying the heat index next week is going to be 105 just about every day.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it, man.
It's a scorcher this year.
Yeah, it's a rough one. But as for you guys listening, hopefully it's not too hot where you are. If you haven't subscribed or followed us on any social medias, it's RBLR Bucks. That would be awesome. We cover – RBLR covers a little bit of all the Tampa Bay sports. You got the Rowdies, the Rays, the Lightning, a little bit of everything. So we've got what you need if you're into Tampa Bay sports. My frogs are croaking, so there we go. but I figured we're going to do tight ends today as our all-time great list. We've been doing that the last few weeks. But I figured we would get into a little bit of Tampa Bay news-ish. It's season of the interns, as Musab would say. So it's as close as we could really get. But I wanted to get your take on Baker Mayfield's contract negotiations or lack thereof. I don't know how you would describe it at this point.
Yeah, the lack of communications from the team is a little concerning. I don't know that they've actually said anything at all, which is probably not good. In terms of, you know, getting an extension done. I know Baker and his camp have pretty much come out and said they want $65 million a year. I don't think that is anywhere near a realistic number for Baker Mayfield. I think if you were talking extension after, not after this past season, but the season before, after 2024, I think that you may have almost had me at that amount.
Well, it came out and they said that was never asked for. $65 million was a rumor that was never a thing. I'm curious. It's hard to kind of look at it and have any real opinion on it because we don't know a number from either side. Like, all we know is that Baker said he wants to be here, but that they're not close on an extension.
Right.
Does that mean they're $10 million off a year? Does that mean they're $20 million off a year? We'll never know until this either done or not done. And that's the annoying part with it is obviously I think Baker's our guy. I think that he does great in the community. I think he does great for the Bucks. But, you know, I feel like if we weren't certain we were going to get an extension done, we maybe would have looked more quarterback direction in the draft and not necessarily signed a one-year backup.
Right. So, I think part of that is that Light has always kind of dealt in the dark in terms of extensions. Like,
yeah,
the Zion McCollum one came out of nowhere right at the beginning of the season last year.
And I still hate it.
It's not ideal, especially because he had a pretty bad year. It's also tough for Baker Mayfield because he didn't play great last year. Injuries or not, he had a Baker season. He threw a lot of interceptions, and he wasn't terribly efficient. But when they won games, he was the reason they won games.
Yeah.
So I think that's who he's going to be for his entire career.
But even when he was throwing a lot of touchdowns, he was still throwing a lot of picks. I mean, we're not talking 30-30 like Jameis Winston, but we're – I mean,
15
he was
or 16 still not great. It's still not great.
He was up there in interceptions, even as a good what we would call a good quarterback. I think he was still second or third in the league with interceptions.
Right.
So, I've grown accustomed to kind of like we're gonna live by Baker or die by Baker, which is not necessarily a bad thing in my opinion. There's quarterbacks in the past who are Hall of Fame level, Brett Favre. You're going to live by Brett Favre or die by Brett Favre.
Exactly. Right?
That's how it is. That's that gunslinger mentality. $65 million would be too rich for me for Baker right now, just because, I mean, he is on the other side of 30.
And
And this team kind of needs to win now, but also, like, are we set up to win now? If our offense was healthy all last season, and not even just Baker, obviously we heard Baker was dealing with a lot of injuries, which kind of, to me, is another good thing for him because that means he's a dog. But at the same time, we had a lot of injuries on the offensive line, on the wide receivers. Bucky Irving missed a lot of time, so it was hard to put the whole down season on him because it was, again, there was just a lot going wrong for Baker and Tampa.
It was kind of a Murphy's Law situation last year, offensively.
Yeah, exactly.
But between the injuries and also just having a new coordinator, like, it's hard to be an offensive coordinator in the NFL, especially when it's your first time calling plays. And, you know, all those injuries certainly don't make it easier. So that it's a compounding issue there.
Yep. And where's that offensive coordinator now?
Right.
So, right. And then the other little bit of news we got, which I find amazing because last year I think we were a little too soft. Tampa has officially been docked a day of OTAs due to being too aggressive during second week of OTAs.
To me, my first question is, who was it?
Exactly.
Like, which of the guys was it? Was it Jacob Parrish? I feel like it was Jacob Parrish.
It may have been. I didn't read too far into it, but it's such a silly thing that we play tackle football and we're worried about being too too many people were falling was, I think, the quote that I read.
Right, too many people on the ground, I think is what he said.
Yeah, that's what it was. Too many people on the ground. Well, it's a contact sport. What are we doing?
We're already cutting out the preseason
games.
Were
they hit? So. Like,
right, exactly. Yeah, and it's not like, you know, putting people on the ground is what's going to cause most of the injuries in the OTAs, I don't think. I'm pretty sure it's the non-contact injuries we're really worried about, right?
Exactly. Every big injury you hear about from – really, even not just necessarily non-contact or not OTAs, but even during the preseason, most of the time it's like, oh, so-and-so ruptured his Achilles by making a bad cut. Like,
yeah,
most injuries come from non-contact stuff anyway. So what does it matter if they just happen to fall on the ground? I don't get it. I think it's so soft.
It's a little bit silly that it happened to us, of all people.
Yeah, now if it happened to the Falcons, I'd be all for it. The Saints, yeah, dock them a day, but it just can't happen to us, man. That's BS.
It's not even that it just can't happen to us. I just, like, wouldn't expect that.
No, I wouldn't expect the team to be practicing not after hard. All the stuff last season with them saying that we were doing too many walkthroughs and
right.
It is a complete, like, 180 culture wise for what we've seen Todd Bowles do, and it's confusing.
I hope so.
I hope it is. I hope that's how the rest of the season goes. Look, injuries be damned. I want them to be an aggressive team, and I think that we lost that a lot last season. Like, that was last season was the first year where I was like, yeah, ooh, we look soft. We look like we don't want it.
Yeah, they looked like they really just didn't want to play football for a solid, I don't know, 7 of the last 8 weeks maybe in the season.
Yeah.
And really, it probably was 8 out of the last 8 weeks of the season. We lost 2 games to the Miami Dolphins.
The Dolphins with Quinn Ewers as their quarterback.
Yeah. Oh my God. Just terrible.
Well, we'll get out of the hateful stuff now for the Bucks.
Yeah, I'm getting some PTSD flashbacks.
Yeah, right, we'll get into the more positive stuff. Not necessarily Bucks related, but greatest tight ends of all time. We've all listed our top 10, which I have not seen Tyler's list at all. So it's going to be a surprise to me as well as you guys. And we'll get right into it, Tyler. Who do you have at number 10, brother?
This number 10 was a little bit hard for me to decide on. There were like 3 or 4 guys that I was really between, and they were all fairly recent players. I ended up going with George Kittle.
Like that.
Only 9 years into his pro career, but he's got more receiving yards, and he's got almost as many receiving yards as Jimmy Graham and almost as many receiving touchdowns. And he's going to pass he passed Zach Ertz as well, who was also – on my outside looking in. Kittle is the prototypical, like, modern NFL tight end where he's actually just a big receiver. But he is a really good blocker, and he has been for his whole career. And really what it came down to is he came out of the gates pretty hot for his career. I think he had 1,000 yards in his first 3 seasons, whereas Greg Olsen never touched 1,000 until, like, year 8 or 9. And he Kittle has more all pros. He's got more Pro Bowls. And he's got the Super Bowl rings as well. So that he gets the nod here at number 10.
I like that. He is one of the guys that just missed my cut, and not because of anything he's done. It was just in my head. I was like, God, I've got quite a few like active / freshly retired guys. I was like, maybe I've got too many on here. But he very well could be 10 on my list, because I've got Vernon Davis on mine. I think he is legitimately one of the most athletic tight ends to ever play the game. He literally just I would go and say the best athlete at tight end.
Yeah, he was fast, man.
Yeah, he was so fast. Hit 583 catches, 7,500 yards, 13 yards per catch, like 63 touchdowns, and a Super Bowl. Granted, Super Bowl 50 with the Broncos. Like, the Broncos are the Broncos, bruh.
Right.
No, I'm just kidding. I just say that because Eureka is a Broncos fan. He's
taking his fist at the screen right now.
Yeah, exactly. But no, the Super Bowl, I don't think he was necessarily a huge part of that Super Bowl team, but
right.
he was still there, and he was still a guy. So I have him on my list more so because I do think he was the first guy I watched growing up where I was like, oh, tight ends are actually athletes. Like, they're not just Heath Millers. They're not just like
Cam Brate. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. So watching him growing up, I was like, yeah, this guy's a stud. And then you had touched on my number nine guy, talking about George Kittle, but I actually have Greg Olsen as my number nine guy, because he was one of those guys that I thought was kind of like just an all around dude. Like, he could block, he could catch. I don't think there was anything he couldn't do as a tight end. Was the first tight end in NFL history to post three consecutive 1,000-yard seasons.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so three-time Pro Bowler, 742 catches, 8,600 yards, closer to 8,700, but 60 touchdowns over his career. I do think the Seattle Seahawks year at the end kind of brought him down a bit for me, because I was like, yeah, you could have called it there and just been a Panther and a Bear. Yeah.
It was the same with Jimmy Graham for me. The end of the career was just bad.
100%. And that was – I would love to have Greg Olsen higher, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it for that exact reason.
Right. Yeah, for both of those guys, it was just kind of ugly at the end. Speaking of an ugly career at the end, at my number nine, I have Mike Ditka, who, you know, is maybe the most football player looking football player to ever, you know, play the game. Like a true football guy. He had 1,000 yards in his first season and 12 touchdowns.
Yeah.
He never touched either of those marks ever again.
No. Nope.
But he did end up with 2 first team all pros and 3 second team all pros and like 5 Pro Bowls, as well as a couple Super Bowls as both head coach and player, I believe.
Yes.
And I think that he is like one of the most perfect examples of what it means to be a football player. He was hard-nosed. He was stick his helmet in your chest. And I don't know if they make that kind of person anymore. And I think he's just of that generation.
Yeah, and I'm gonna jump in there. I was gonna let you do number eight, but my number eight is Mike Ditka, and for every reason you said, like, that is when you think of a football player, it's between him and Dick Butkus. Like, yes, those are just
exactly those are the two players,
bro. Like, you can't get around it. And stats aside, like, that was what a tight end was for so long, and he embodied that. And I love that. I loved him.
Just insane. And he's got the mustache. You know,
I'm telling you,
what he asked for. My number eight is Ozzie Newsome, who has some very, very shockingly and surprisingly good statistics.
Mm-hmm.
He played forever as well. I believe it was like 13 years. And
yeah, 78 to 90.
Right. Longtime Cleveland Brown. Never found like any success there. But topped 1,000 yards a couple times. He's got a first-team All-Pro. But for me, it was a combination of the longevity and and just the tenacity to me. I watched a little bit of his tape preparing for this. He was another one of those hard-nosed guys that like didn't have like an ounce of quit in his body. And he had the big, big shoulder pads too, which, you know, certainly helps, the baggy jersey.
Yeah.
He's, to me, that is what a tight end should look like. Mike Ditka is what a tight end should be. Ozzie Newsome is what it should look like.
100%. I couldn't agree more. He missed my list, but not by much. That was another situation where like, I made the list and I was thinking, God, I should have added this guy in there. I could have added this guy. But I think he, one of those guys that was just a dog again. Like, he was everything that should be a tight end.
A cool football player.
Exactly. And honestly, I think an underrated football name.
I agree. It doesn't hurt that he's got like other people named Ozzy that are also really cool. You
know, exactly. Like, who do you have at number 7?
At number 7, I've got Kellen Winslow. Who
this
is
gonna be an easy one then, because so do I.
Right, you're right. The prototypical like modern tight end, except he did it like 3 decades early.
Exactly.
Really short career, but he was when he was good, he was good. He finished 6th in MVP voting in 1981.
As a tight end.
With 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns. It's part of that like Air Coryell offense, right? With with the Chargers. And he was I'll never forget that picture of him like laying on the bench in the middle of a game because he never like came off the field. He led the NFL in catches 2 years in a row in 1980 and 1981. And, you know, talking advanced stats, he also led the NFL in success rate in 1980, which is like the percentage of plays where you gain more than half of the yards to go on like a first down. It's 5 yards, second down, whatever's left. Just like, He set the standard for what a tight end would be, but he did it so much earlier than everybody else. I don't know that there was like tight end that played like him between, I don't know, the end of his career and the beginning of Rob Gronkowski's. Like, yeah. He was so far ahead of the curve to me.
And honestly, I think that killed his, kind of brought him down, because if he were in today's NFL, like in the last 20 years, we'd be talking about him as one of the greatest tight ends of all time.
Right.
And now we're like, granted, it's still a top 10 list, but we're talking out of, instead of top 10, he would be top 3.
Right.
And I do think, again, the career shortness kind of hurt him in a sense, but 5-time Pro Bowler, 109 games played, 541 catches, 6,700 yards, 45 touchdowns, made the NFL 100 all-time team in 2019. Like, when you hear the word tight end, Kellen Winslow is one of the first 3 names you think of.
Right, exactly.
But it just happened too early, and that was kind of the downside. Like, as dumb as that sounds, he hurt himself by being the way he was 40
and
years ago.
Part of the nature of the way that he played, he also got his career cut a little bit short. Like, he didn't play nearly as long as some of the other guys here. And so his stats don't look that crazy. But on a per-year basis, I don't think anybody was really doing it like him.
No, I don't think – especially not at the time.
Right.
I think that if he had an extra 3 to 4 years, we'd be talking record-breaking numbers. And that's just the kind of player he was. But I've got my next, so I believe we're at 6, right? Yeah.
Yes.
At 6, I have Shannon Sharp. Another guy who I think career length brings him down a little bit. It was, 13 years or 12 years as well, which is not – that's a great career to have in the NFL, especially nowadays. But 4-time first-team All-Pro, 8-time Pro Bowler, 2 Super Bowl championships – 10,000 yards, 62 touchdowns. Pro Football 2011, I believe. But I think his talk shows make me like him less.
I don't disagree.
And that is why I have him ranked at 6. I think he should be higher, but like, I just, like,
yeah, no.
Watching his shows drives me a little bit crazy. And I mean, no disrespect to him. But yeah, he's the first guy on my list over 10,000 yards. I think that he is one of those guys that changed the Ravens and the Broncos when he played for them. And that's just kind of, you can't ask for more than that. Like, when you change a team and you make a team that much better, I think that that shows how good of a player at tight end you are.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was a fairly undersized tight end.
Yeah.
And it's also crazy because he wasn't even the better brother. Like, his
brother, exactly.
His brother had, is maybe one of the biggest what ifs in NFL history.
100%. 100%.
That's maybe the craziest part of the Shannon Sharpe story, but also really, really, really good tight end.
Yeah. No. And like I said, I think he's one of those guys that should be higher up on my list. If he would just not have Club Shay Shay, you know, we'd be talking a different story. But who do you have at six?
Him and Ocho.
Yeah. Well, see, Ocho. Yeah. No, he annoys me too. You're not wrong. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Both get on my nerves. I think we pretty much swapped six and five. I ended up going with Jason Witten here at six.
Okay.
He played forever, man. I really did not realize how long that career was.
Was it 20 years or pretty close to 20? 16? Pretty close.
I think it was 16 officially because he sat out a year.
Yeah.
Like 2003 to 2020, which is insane because that was basically up until 2020, that was my entire life. it's crazy to think he started. He started playing football the same time as LeBron James started playing basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's incredible. And he played tight end, which is like the most physical sport. But he also was like not – he wasn't like just a run-blocking tight end. He was a fantastic receiver. He was a first-team All-Pro twice, second-team All-Pro twice. And he had like 11 Pro Bowls, which, you know, he's a Cowboy, so they get those a little bit easier than everybody else.
Yeah, yeah.
But – like, he wasn't playing with the best quarterbacks either. He was playing with Tony Romo, who's, I guess, a borderline Hall of Famer if you really want to go that direction.
And
Dak Prescott, who is, I don't know, top eight quarterback in the league?
I don't even think he's out. I think he's so overrated, bro.
At his best, when he plays at his best, I think he's up there. But when does he do that?
That's what I was saying. We've seen him play at his worst. I know we're talking tight ends, but we've seen Dak Prescott play at his worst more than we've seen him play at his best. So
I agree. And I think part of that is like the terrible injuries he's had in his career between the ankle and
that's totally fair.
Right. But again, like that's who Jason Witten was playing with, and he put up like those are crazy numbers.
Yeah.
I know that he played forever, but 13,000 yards as a tight end is borderline.
The last year he played, he was on Oakland, and right. Like he didn't have big numbers in Oakland, so like that, while that says a year, I would imagine he didn't get even 500 of those yards in Oakland. I mean, I would have to look, I don't know the number for sure,
70, but not even 70, 69 yards.
Okay, so yeah, so he barely broke the 13,000 mark in Cleveland or in Oakland. So it's the last few years of his career weren't great, so he piled that up even more with Romo and Dak. I think most of it was Romo, obviously, but
yeah.
He was the guy that literally did it all and was still, I would say, a better blocker than a receiver, but still put up 13,000 career receiving yards,
right.
74 touchdowns. Like, the numbers for him are insane, and you had mentioned it, but I have him at five on my list. Dude, like, he was just literally one of the people you watched growing up that if you weren't a Cowboys fan, you were like, God, I wish we had him.
Yeah.
And that was, I mean, for me, at least the Bucs, I was like, yeah, I would love to have Jason Witten. Instead, we had Austin Seferian Jenkins.
We got Dallas Clark in there somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe.
I think also one of the cool things is that, like, for a generation of Cowboys fans, he's one of the first people you think of.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah.
I think about that that play of him running down the field with no helmet on at least once a week.
Bro, you have to. He did not care about his body or anything. He just cared about playing football.
Which is crazy to say for a player that played that long.
Exactly. And it's – I mean, what? We'll call it 16 years, even though he took a year off, so 17 really, but 16 – you don't see that from tight ends anymore. Him and Mercedes Lewis were the only two that I remember being like, wow, this guy's had a long career. Like, tight ends now, you got 10 to 13 years.
Right.
and that's a great career. Most of the time you're seeing like 8 to 10 years. So to have a career that long, and I'm taking out the Oakland year because I think he was pretty much just a pure blocker in Oakland.
Right.
To play all
and Darren Waller together.
Exactly. So to play all those years and be that successful for a vast majority of those years, I mean, that's all I need to hear to have.
Pretty crazy that he came out of retirement and had 500 yards receiving at the age of 37.
Exactly. Took a year off to host Monday Night Football and say, you know, I'm going to go back into it real quick. I think I still got it.
That's insanity. That really is nuts.
That's wild. So that was my number five. I know it was your six, but my five. So we kind of clumped it together. Who do you have at five, Tyler?
I had Sharp. So we already talked about.
Easy enough then. Was there anything else you want to add on Sharp before we go to our number fours then?
Not really. I think we pretty much covered it. He really was like the missing puzzle piece for two different borderline Super Bowl teams.
And then he took them two Super Bowls.
Right, exactly. And like both of those offenses had other pieces, but I don't think I could name another piece on the 2000 Ravens on offense other than him.
Do they have Torrey Smith?
That might be it.
Yeah, Torrey Smith and Joe Flacco. That's all I could think of.
Yep. Who he was.
What year was that? Did they have? They didn't have Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco was way after that. I'm tripping. Yeah. They didn't have Torrey Smith either. Torrey Smith was after that. That was their next Super Bowl win.
Wow.
That's great. Exactly. Yeah. Well, then we'll just jump to four. Who do you have at four?
I have Antonio Gates here.
Our top list is lining up great because I also have Antonio Gates.
this is you know what, Zach? I don't think we've ever agreed this much in our entire lives.
I'm telling you. Although I feel like you and I, we have a lot of the same thoughts, but this is the first time we've put it on a list, and it's been pretty close.
Disagree. Antonio Gates is very similar to Jason Witten. I think that they have very similar career arcs. Both got drafted in 2003. Antonio Gates retired just a couple years earlier. He's got three AP All-Pros as well. He's got a million Pro Bowls, and he played forever, and he played with one borderline Hall of Fame quarterback and a Hall of Fame quarterback with Drew Brees and Phil Rivers. I first encountered Antonio Gates when I was first getting into fantasy football as like a third grader, and he was on my team, and he pretty much carried us to the championship
every year.
It was him and Russell Wilson, I think I had, and I must add Marshawn Lynch that year as well. And it was pretty awesome. And so I think of Antonio Gates as like the equal opposite of Jason Witten, where like I don't necessarily think of him as a blocker. I don't really think of him as being tough, but he was a really, really, really good receiver.
Mm-hmm.
He just was. He was one of those like jump ball threat guys who I think had 10 touchdowns like four or five times as a tight end, which you don't really see, which is like that's like almost a league-leading number when you get to 10, 12, 13, 14 touchdowns. And he did that multiple times.
Yeah, exactly. And I think what's more impressive is, if I'm not mistaken, Antonio Gates didn't play football until the NFL.
Right. He was a college basketball player.
Even more impressive to me is that he is sixth all-time in tight end touchdown catches, had a plethora of 1,000-yard seasons, and – I would assume he played it growing up, but just in college, I'm just talking strictly college, the NFL. He played basketball, was drafted as a basketball player to play in the NFL at tight end.
Right.
And put together a Hall of Fame career. Like, to me, that's the most impressive thing. Even if he did play all the way through high school and then took 3 or 4 years off to play basketball and then went straight to the NFL, it's insane, and it makes what he did even more impressive. And I think that's why I put him over Witten, because while Witten had a longer career and some of his numbers are better, I do think that Antonio Gates made a bigger impact to his team than what Jason Witten did.
In terms of like purely scoring the football, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And then I know he never got a Super Bowl, but that was kind of the thing for Phillip Rivers, is that he could never get a Super Bowl in. But I know on some of my other lists, especially quarterback, I kind of put that as my reasoning behind knocking down players. Like Dan Marino, I didn't have very high because he didn't have a Super Bowl.
Right.
But it's harder for me to do that with position players.
Right.
Because it's not on them necessarily.
And it is a team sport, but there are only two players every play that are guaranteed to touch the football, and it's the center and the quarterback. The
center, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And so, you know, there is more blame to put on a quarterback for not winning a Super Bowl. And so, yeah, you really can't hold it against Antonio Gates. You can't hold it against, you know, Jason Witten for not having a ring either. So that's, yeah. I mean, I think that I put him there for pretty much the exact same reason, the touchdowns and the yards.
Hell yeah. Perfect. Well, let's get into number three then, because at number three, I think this might be where our list might differ if I had to guess.
This would be like the only spot, I think.
Yeah, I have Travis Kelce at three.
I ended up sticking Gronk at three.
Okay, see, so that was my debate.
That was pretty much the hardest decision for me.
Yeah, yeah. And I even at one point I wrote on my list, I have Gronk and Kelce as 2A and 2B.
Right.
I think my top three, you could, well, my number two and three, you could put any way you wanted. And it's, I would fully agree with you on it. But I have Travis Kelce at three. First team All Pro in 16, 18, 20, 22, and a 9-time Pro Bowler. 3 Super Bowl championships, 12,151 yards, and 77 touchdowns. And that's not including the playoff stuff. I think what makes him maybe better than Gronk, in my opinion, is his ability to play in the playoff. Granted, he's had so many times in the playoffs. I mean, I can't say anything. Gronk had the same stuff in New England and in Tampa. But what put him below Gronk for me was that Kelce played before Mahomes and wasn't necessarily Travis Kelce. So I do think Mahomes kind of helped him get to where he is. Now, is that necessarily fair? No, because Gronk had Brady his entire career. So right. I think he had one season without Brady. But so I'm not necessarily putting that all on Kelce. I just think that what he's done is amazing. And I hate the Chiefs so much, but I'm actually such a Travis Kelce fan. And he's the only active guy on my list.
Yeah, obviously I had Kittle earlier, so he is the second active guy on my list. I ended up going with Kelce over Gronk. There's a 4,000-yard gap between the guys. It's to me, that is – I mean, some of these guys on this list, like Kellen Winslow only had 6,000 yards.
Yeah.
So to have almost a big – almost a Kellen Winslow-sized gap between the two guys, like a half a Kellen – a half of Kellen Winslow, if you will. It's hard to end up putting Gronk above him. Kelce also has 6 more Pro Bowls. I know those are, you know, they're cheap to buy, if you will. But it does matter. And they've got almost the same amount of rings. They have the same amount of Pro Bowls. I mean, all pros. And they both played with a Hall of Fame quarterback for pretty much their entire career.
Yeah.
Kelce had a couple years on the front end. I think that ultimately when it goes down, Kelce will have passed Gronk. I don't think that's ridiculous to say. Kelce is 10 touchdowns behind Gronk, which is also pretty incredible. Considering Gronk has been out of the league for 5 years now.
Exactly. And I think that is where, and obviously we'll go into my number two now. Gronk to me is number two because one, he's played 30 less games than Kelce. I believe it's 30, 143, 175. So, yeah, 32 less games than Travis Kelce. That's 2 seasons.
Right.
So,
and they're pretty much the same age.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So I feel that he was more important to his team. Not important to his team, that's – because Travis Kelce is the go-to in Kansas City. But he made a bigger impact right away. And even with Gronkowski, I mean, the first, what, two seasons he was splitting time with Aaron Hernandez.
Right.
So it's like, God, could you imagine if Aaron Hernandez's stuff never happened, how dominant that tight end
duo. How many Super Bowls did they end up with?
Jesus. Like, even thinking about that, because realistically, I think Aaron Hernandez was the better athlete out of Gronk and Hernandez.
Which is another crazy thing to say, but it's also true.
Yeah, exactly. So he's got one extra ring than Kelce, if I'm not mistaken. I think
right.
He has four, Kelce has three. He did win the Comeback Player of the Year award, and he made the NFL All-100 team. I don't think that Kelce did. Granted, I think that is more of a after you're out of the league kind of, well, no, because he was still in the league when he made it.
Right.
Because he was on Tampa. But Travis Kelce has the streak of 1,000-yard seasons over Gronk. I don't know. Yeah. I think the 32 less games and two seasons, I think Gronk would have been – their yardage numbers would have been very, very close. But the touchdowns – kind of get it for me. It's a
touchdown premium position.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we're not talking about Coke Heath on this list at any point ever in his career, and that's not because he's not great. He's great at blocking. Like,
right.
That just isn't as important. But even Gronk was a good blocker. So it's like, I think he was a better do-it-all tight end, but also – could score like he's a better red zone threat than Kelce, in my opinion. And when I think of tight ends, as much as I love watching Kelce catch a deep ball, I'd rather see that tight end run a 10-yard.
Has an icon status. He really exactly. does.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
The other thing that I'll say in favor of Gronk is that he was like stitched out of like cadavers and Frankenstein body parts at the end of his
career. Dude, oh my God. He
was wearing knee braces on his elbows.
Exactly. But I mean, at the end of the day, like I said before, I think they're one or they're 2A and 2B. Like I don't feel right necessarily giving Kelce number three and Gronk number two, or Kelce number two and Gronk number three, because I do think that they're both, in my opinion, almost like Tom Brady, Peyton Manning,
right?
Back in that era of football debates. I think they're both great. And Kelce, if he has a good year, I mean, I think everyone knows this is probably his last year. So
I'm surprised the last one wasn't, honestly.
Exactly. I do think that if Kelce has another down year like he did last year, it drops his legacy a little bit for me.
Definitely. I don't disagree with that at all.
All right, so then who do you have? So obviously, two, you have Kelce. We kind of already touched on all that. Number one.
Number one's pretty easy.
Yeah, Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah.
I've you know, I had to ask. That was the easiest name to put down on this list for me.
Yeah, like, it really was. Not even having to look at the statistics.
Yeah, exactly. You just go, well, who do you think of when you think of tight ends? Tony G. Oh, okay. Yeah, makes sense.
It's pretty crazy that the Bucs had Jimmy Graham, Greg Olsen, and Tony Gonzalez all in their division at the same time.
At the same time, dude.
That's ridiculous. And Levante David had to guard all three of them at a certain point.
Exactly. Six-time first-team All-Pro. Another guy who I'm pretty sure came right out of college as a basketball player.
I think he played both, but I think he was more of a basketball player.
Okay. 270 games, 15,000 yards. That I don't think that'll ever be overtaken by a tight end.
Great.
He was a centerpiece for two offenses in Kansas City and Atlanta. 111 touchdowns. Another guy on the NFL All-100 team. I mean, what is there you can say negative about Tony Gonzalez?
I really don't think there – I mean, obviously he doesn't have the ring, but like we said, for the position players, it's more about the quarterback play.
Yeah, and that's one of those things where, again, we touched on it. Like, if you told me a quarterback, I was going to put a quarterback on the top of my list and he didn't have a ring, I'd tell you you're crazy.
Right.
But
the quarterback – like he played with bad quarterbacks either.
No, it was just – just kind of got unlucky. Well, Atlanta. I mean, who did he play with in Atlanta? Was that Matt Ryan the whole time?
I think it was Matt Ryan at the end of that.
At the end,
I can't really remember who it was in the beginning of the early 2000s. I mean, the end of the 2000s for them.
Yeah. But, I mean, dude, when you're putting together 270 games, 11.4 yards a catch, and 111 touchdowns.
There's really not much to say.
I feel like this is such a short list or such a short discussion for the number one guy, but he was just the do-it-all, put your head down, play football. You never heard anything off the field about it. At least I didn't. Granted, I was young. I was 2 when he came into the league. So,
right. Like, and he's a great broadcaster, too.
That oh, I love him as a broadcaster, which I think that should put him even higher on the list. Even though he's 1, we should 1A.
1A with no 1B, yeah.
1+.
Right.
Like, there's just nothing that he's done negative to impact his how great he is. And I think that that's something, especially today's day and age with football players, is you got to look at off-the-field stuff. And I've been a stark believer in not putting off-the-field stuff into it. But when we're talking about the greatest of all time and there's no controversy around him, there's nothing negative.
Ever. Yeah.
Dude, like, yeah, he's just a dog. I've said that a lot this episode because I think that's kind of what I picture tight ends as, like the heart and soul of that offensive line and receiver group all together. And so right. He did everything right, was a stud everywhere he went. I don't think he necessarily ever had a down year either.
He never really got injured. It doesn't even look like he played 15 or 16 games every year.
Yeah, and I mean, dude, you're an Ironman athlete at that point. Like, right. It's insane to be able to play that many games every year and still be at a competitive level. Like, there would be times we'd see Gronk, especially here in Tampa, where he'd be hurt and he'd be limping into the end zone. And
right.
And like, all right, dude, it's time to hang it up. And we all knew it. I think watching Gonzalez play even the last few years, I was never like, he should retire.
Right, which is crazy for a 17-year career.
Exactly, exactly.
And you know, the six AP All-Pros, I think, to me, are like the biggest selling point. I don't think there's anybody on the list with more than 4 in NFL history.
I think you're right.
And I think that that's crazy by itself. But I also think it's crazy that in 2004, he led the league in catches.
Yeah.
And yards per touch, and he didn't get first team All-Pro. That was one of the seasons he didn't.
And that's why these, like, superlatives is what I call them, kind of. All-Pro is a little more important than Pro Bowler. Like, Pro Bowlers are – they're fan votes.
Right.
The Cowboys are always going to have more Pro Bowls than the Dolphins, even if the Dolphins – well, no, the Dolphins are a pretty popular team too. But then let's just say the Bears or something, like – a small market team in the NFL, if you're not in Texas, you're not going to get the vote. So I don't look at Pro Bowlers or as at Pro Bowls like I do All Pros. For me, as an All Pro, like that means so much more than a Pro Bowler. Considering we saw who was the Shedeur Sanders as a Pro Bowler this year, like
Tyler Huntley has a Pro Bowler.
Tyler Huntley had one the season before. Yeah, Derek Carr didn't play at all and still made a Pro Bowl.
Yeah, ridiculous.
It's so. Yeah, I mean, I don't have anything else to say on Tony Gonzalez other than he deserves a spot. And it's, I'll be honest, as much as I love Gronk, it's not even a close race for my between 2 and 1.
Yeah, I think that there is obviously there's a bigger gap between 1 and 2 than there is between 2 and 3. No matter who you have at 2 or 3.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think there's a bigger gap between 1 and 2 than there is between even 2 and 4.
You know, I'd go as far as to say the whole list.
Yeah.
You could give me 2 and 10 and I'd be like, because he's just in a tier of his own. Like right. All these other lists have been like, 1 through 3, I could change and be okay with it. At tight end, no. Like if anyone has Tony Gonzalez not at 1, I don't think you really know ball. Like,
yeah, it's the ball knowledge of like a TikTok comment section.
Exactly. But I think that pretty much wraps up the tight end list for us. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Tyler, for being here, brother. It's been always awesome getting to do these with you. If you haven't yet, don't forget to subscribe. Go follow us on all of our socials, and just have a great day. All right. And as always, guys, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.